This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
All right, welcome to the Vintage Truth Podcast, episode 297. You know what that means? That means there's 296 podcasts, actually 297, obviously, but 296 that you can go back and listen to. And, you know, I get messages from people who say, hey, I am going back and I'm binge listening to your podcast because there are so many topics that I have covered in these podcasts, a little mini series that I've done, and also just standalone topics that address the things about life, about God, about truth, about theology that you're interested in, that really kind of scratch where you're itching. And it not only satisfies your curiosity of, it's what I'm hearing, the curiosity of, hey, what about this? Or, hey, I've always wanted to understand this. But it also deepens your faith in God. And that's what I want to talk about today is deepening your faith in God. Because, you know, as we go along in our Christian lives, we really do want to grow, right? We want to get stronger. And the reason we need to get stronger is because the world is getting more powerfully opposed against us. In other words, Satan is ramping up his agenda, and we have to be more discerning, and we have to be more deepened in our faith. Our root system has to be deepened. And the reason why is because the winds are increasing against believers. And so right now is a time unprecedented in the past, really the past 200 years, that believers need to be really strengthening themselves and abiding in Christ and nourishing and undergirding the whole infrastructure of your faith. And one of the reasons why this is so important right now is because Christianity and Christians specifically are going to be increasingly accused of being kind of the people who don't want to get along with everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And with the just the shift in the spirit of culture, and now with a new presidential administration that is not as sympathetic to Christianity than the previous administration. Not saying that the president was this saint. I'm just simply saying that the policies that were in place were a little more sympathetic than even his predecessor. But all indications are that things are going to turn against Christians more and more, and against their values, against our long-held beliefs and what we believe the Scripture teaches, and to simply declare this is what the Bible says is going to be highly controversial and highly offensive. And you need to be prepared for that, because that day is upon us, my friend, and it's only going to get worse. So I wanted you to know that, because, you know, and I'm not saying this to be a doomsday prophet. I'm saying this to really prepare you. We need to prepare ourselves for spiritual battle. And in order to do that, we've got to feed ourselves adequately. And that's what you're doing right now. You're feeding yourself. This obviously is a supplement to other teaching and to other personal Bible study, and hopefully what your pastor is already equipping you with and teaching you. But today I want to talk about that whole subject of really undergirding your faith. And I want to dispel what is sometimes a myth, what can seem like a myth, but also can be a little bit confusing in talking about faith and having great faith. You know, the Bible says a lot about faith. In fact, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the reason that's true is because you can't see God. And so by nature, you have to have faith in God. Now, it's not faith in like a fairy tale or faith in a hopeful wish or faith in some imaginary thing that has no tangible evidence or you know, credibility to it. But it's faith based upon certain things. I mean, Jesus was with his disciples physically, but he still asked them to have faith in him, right? So there is always an element of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So really one of the questions is how do you grow your faith? Of course, Romans 10 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the more that we have the Word of God, the truth of God, the mind of God, the heart of God in us, the more our faith grows. And we are able to exercise greater faith as we go along. And this is why, you know, some people say, well, God never gives us more than we can handle. Well, that's ridiculous. Of course He does. He gives us more than we can handle all the time. And the reason for that is so that we would reach out to Him and depend upon Him and to be able to lean on Him, a greater power than ourselves. So yes, He always gives us more than we can handle because He wants our faith to grow and our faith to stretch. And there's a passage in Matthew 17 that illustrates some of this, and it really illustrates a very, very important point here. And, you know, Jesus had sent His disciples out, and they wanted to, they wanted to do things for Christ, just like you do. You want to do things for Jesus. You want to be out there trusting Him and accomplishing great things for Him, and whether even not just out there, but also at home with your family and with your relationships there. And it says in Matthew 17:4, it says, when they came to the multitude, a man came up to Him, falling on his knees, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and he is very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And then it says, Jesus rebuked him, and it says, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Obviously, this boy was demon-possessed, and the demon had control of all of his faculties, so much so that it would cause him to harm himself. And by the way, any activity in which you are purposefully, or someone is purposefully inflicting pain or injury upon themselves, is a demonically inspired activity. That doesn't necessarily mean they're demon-possessed, but demons are behind that, because that is not a natural thing. It is not natural for a human being to want to hurt him or herself. So anytime there is an outside force that is causing that person to do that, it's demonic. And, you know, I saw that a lot in student ministry. I was in student ministry for several decades, and I saw that with mainly young girls who would cut themselves or would harm themselves in some way. And it stemmed from demonic activity that was brought on by the fact that they had a void in their heart and their life because their dad had not filled that void and taught them about how precious and wonderful and valuable just priceless that they are. Anyway, all that to say is that this young boy was demon-possessed. And keep in mind here, a lot of these people in the Middle East in the first century, there's a lot of demonic activity going around, a lot of pagan religions and that type of thing. So it's not unusual that this would happen. And so, but then he says, and then the disciples came to Jesus privately. Now they want to understand, okay, so what do we do wrong here? And they say, why could we not cast it out? Why could we not get rid of this demon? And listen to what Jesus says to them. It says in verse 20, and he said, because of the littleness of your faith, because of the size of your faith. That's why you couldn't do it. He says, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Now, let's just unpack this for just a little bit here. And let's talk about what Christ is not saying. First of all, he's not saying that literally we can speak to a mountain and it can be moved. That's not the point of his passage here. And they didn't understand that. They understood him to not say that as well. In other words, they didn't go, okay, well, hey, Mount of Olives, move. I mean, they didn't do that. So they understood that he was speaking metaphorically, he was speaking symbolically here, obviously, in this passage. But he's talking about the size of the task. And in this case, the size of the task is someone who's demon-possessed. Because you just can't walk up to a demon and say, hey, leave that person. I mean, demons are supernatural entities. They're powerful, angelic creatures, and they have authority in the spiritual world. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians. He is the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Jesus called him the ruler of this world in John 12. So he controls the air in terms of the atmosphere. He controls the temperature. He controls the airwaves. He's in charge of what's going on out there. And so when a supernatural spiritual entity comes on a person and takes up residence in a person, it's like a parasite that you can't locate. And it's more, listen to this, it's more powerful than human power. And Jesus gave an example in another place where in order for that demon to leave, a force greater than the demon has to evict them, okay? Just like when someone is evicted from a house, it has to be an authority greater than the occupant of the house. And so Christ is saying that there has to be a greater authority to come in to do that. Now, in this passage, he said the reason why you couldn't cast out this demon was because your faith was too small. So then you ask the question, okay, so how do we have greater faith? I mean, how do we have a kind of faith that can say to a mountain, move, metaphorically, or say to a demon, leave, and the demon leaves? Because obviously in this passage, Christ simply spoke to the demon and he left. You remember the example of Christ in Mark chapter 5 in Mark, where he comes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee into the country of the Gerasenes. And it says that when he had come out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And it says that he was dwelling in these caves, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain. And the reports that people have given of the supernatural strength of people who are actually possessed by demons is unreal. It's very, very scary. Yeah. But watch this. It says, because he'd often been bound with shackles and chains, this is Mark chapter 5, and the chains had been torn by him and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. It says, and constantly night and day among the tombs, it says, in the mountains, he was crying out, and watch this, gashing himself with stones. Once again, that self-abuse is going on. And seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And see, these demons recognize who Jesus is. They recognize his greater authority. And crying out with a loud voice says, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? I implore you, by God, do not torment me. And Jesus asked his name. He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. This man may have had up to 3,000 to 6,000 demons in him. Yeah, that's what a legion was. And it says, he began to entreat him earnestly not to send them out of the country. And Jesus, you know the story, Jesus sent the demons into a herd of swine, of pigs, and they rushed down a steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. That's what you call deviled ham right there. Okay. And so anyway, the point is this, is that the demons recognize the authority of Jesus, the greatness, the bigness, the power of Jesus Christ. So that's what the demons recognize. Now, when demons recognize that in us, they also have to obey. They also have to be resisted by our faith. That they can't resist a power that is greater than themselves. And the point of this, when we talk about faith, is it's not so much our faith. We think sometimes that the faith is ours, that kind of came from us, and you know, it's something that we invented. And really where this leads to, quite frankly, is it leads to this name it, claim it, false gospel. It leads to this spoken word type of theology that says if you proclaim something, it becomes true by faith. And that is not the point of this passage. It's not the point of our faith in Jesus Christ. That's a little bit, well, that's a lot more on the side of voodoo than it is on Christianity, the whole word of faith thing is being spoken. So watch this now. So the point is not our faith. The point is who our faith is in. And this is why the word of God is so important in our lives, because the more we have the word in us, the greater our understanding and vision of God becomes. And kind of put it in our terms, it's like God grows in our mind, right? He doesn't really grow. He's always the same. But our understanding of God grows, and therefore we are able, ready for this? We're able to put more faith in him because we see how big he is. I mean, it's like seeing a Volkswagen a VW Bug. I had a 69 VW Bug when I was in high school. Coolest car ever. Okay, but that car is not going to pull a huge trailer. You know why? Because it's a small car. But on the contrary, the car that I have now, an SUV, could pull a very large trailer because it's a more powerful engine. It's a V8. It's this really cool engine. Whereas a Volkswagen is just a really small thing. Well, that's like our faith. When your faith is small, it can't do much because of what it's in. The faith is in a small engine. But when you put your faith in a big engine, you're able to trust God with greater things. So the point of having great faith, ready for this? The point is to have a great God in your mind. The point is to understand how great God is. And the greater that we see that God is, the object of our faith, the greater then we can exercise a faith that matches the vision of God that we have. And so when we have a powerful God, it's as I've said before, it's like walking out on really thick ice in the wintertime. You know, you can drive trucks on lakes. I've been on lakes where spoken at retreats where there's a giant frozen lake and people are, well, I'm snowmobiling on it. People are parking their trucks on it. We're playing hockey on it. Guess what? Because the ice is thick. And in that sense, it really doesn't matter the size of our faith. The ice is going to hold us. If we have little faith, ice will hold us. If we have great faith, the ice will hold us. Why? Not the point is not the amount of faith. It's the thickness of the ice. And so, but as our faith grows, as we understand how thick the ice is and how strong it is, then we can then put greater faith in it and go from walking on it to snowmobiling on it to driving a truck on it. You see what I'm saying? So that's the whole great faith that Jesus is talking about here. And he just said, look, if you just had small faith, mustard seed size faith, which was the smallest of fruit-bearing seeds of that day that people generally knew about. He says, if you just had a tiny little faith like that in a big old God like he is, you can do great things. So think about what you can do, what you and I can do, and trust him for as our faith begins to grow. And I'll tell you now, having been in ministry, having, you know, pastored a mission church for 10 years, having worked with teenagers for decades, having trusted God for travel, to travel all over the world, to speak on behalf of him, having trusted him to run a nonprofit ministry and to literally not know where our paycheck is coming from the past 21 years, that kind of faith, I didn't have that faith. But it has grown over time as I have seen a big God do big things. And now I can ask him for bigger things because my understanding of him is bigger. Now, I've got a long way to go. I still need to grow and grow and grow, and I need to expand that faith, but it can only expand. It can only grow. Our faith can only grow as our understanding of God grows. So that's why we have to keep diving deeper. We need to keep expanding it and causing the breadth of our knowledge of God to grow. And there is a verse in Romans that I want to conclude with here that I think will really encourage us. It says this, it says in Romans 11:13, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. You know, one of the things that those verses teach us is that we'll never know all of it. We'll never understand all of God. So go ahead and just keep pursuing, just keep assimilating, just keep marinating the truth of God in our minds. And the more that we do that, the bigger God becomes in our understanding. And because he becomes bigger, that ice is thicker, right? We're able to trust him with greater weight. So you're able to ask him for bigger things, and you're able to endure bigger struggles and bigger opposition. As I said at the beginning of the podcast, is that we're entering an age, really the new dark ages, we're entering an age of unprecedented darkness and unprecedented challenges on the church of Jesus Christ, on the bride of Christ, on Christians today. And because of that, you have to expand your knowledge of God. So in order to survive and thrive and to accomplish great things for God, then you and I are going to have to continue to dive deep in the Word of God so that our knowledge of Jesus Christ can continue to grow. And that is how we have great faith. Great faith comes from knowing a great God. And that's the word for you today on the Vintage Truth Podcast. Hey, God bless you. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.